camera. We're ready to go back there. Can I have the roll call, please?
Bennett?
Here.
Burt?
Here.
Hapler? Peters? Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting. Do I have any motions regarding the minutes?
Chairman, I move we approve the minutes of October 15th, 2014.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are accepted. Okay, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for November 19th. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to look at matters relative to replat, zonings, and land use matters. If you're here to comment on a case, and I see a number of you in the audience tonight, when the case of your particular interest comes up, if you would go back to the podium at my right and your left and state your name and your interest in the case, we would love to have your input in that matter. So with that, we will begin. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the first case we have tonight is a rezoning of this parcel here off of 53rd Avenue. And it's going from A1 to C5. That is the petitioner's request. As you can see, much of the area around here is commercial. We do some R2 area right here, single family residence district. And this is R2 as well, but the remaining areas around here are C2. And then we do have C3 on those two parcels there, and then C2 down here. Petitioner plans to work with the Iowa, in this case, University of Iowa Credit Union, to place a business right here, an office, and then use the existing entryway off of 53rd as means of access to place that office building at that location, and C5 zoning would enable it. These are the elevations showing what the structure would look like. This is what the petitioner intends to build. Currently, the petitioner has an easement that would allow him to extend from here to gain access to the sanitary sewer. And there are other utilities nearby so that the site can be serviced. In reviewing this proposal, staff recommends approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. The rest of the parcels in the area, excuse me, are all C2. What's the advantage to going to a C5 instead of a C2, or what would the difference be?
I can answer that, Greg. Basically, there's always a concern if this business does not locate there, what else can be put there. And it was basically staff's request if they would go to the C5, the lowest zoning category they needed for their business.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else on the commission? No. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? No. Seeing none, come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 14086, the rezoning of 2123 53rd Avenue, as stated and subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14086, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14086 passes. Greg.
These next two cases relate to, one is a final plat for this area right here, which are lots 2 and 3. Of I-74 Technology Park addition, and it's a replat as well as a site development plan. So there are two motions involved here. The area is accessed by coming off of Utica Ridge Road, coming down Tanglefoot Lane. In the future, there will be a connection between 40th Street and then Golden Valley Drive. This will be a continuation of Golden Valley Drive up to this point. This is what the previous plat looked like, and we're looking at lots 2 and 3 and essentially taking and jogging this boundary right here in taking and platting of the ground. And then right here, this is the prior site plan. You'll note that there was a building anticipated here and that this building was situated right along the property line. Well, the site plan that is coming up will indicate a change from that particular design. This is the existing site right here, and if you're coming down Crow Creek Road and then you're coming up Golden Valley Drive, the building would be approximately over here in this area adjacent to the existing building that's on site. The boundary will be jogged further to the east. It's originally right about in this spot, and it will be jogged over further to the east to accommodate the structure that will go on this location. As you can see, there's a separation now of 10 feet either side here. The buildings are no longer coupled by a structure over here, and they aren't as close. So that's the change in the site plan, pretty much. The landscape plan will remain, and it will be complied with. The tree count meets our satisfaction according to the ordinance. And then those are the building treatments right there. Essentially, this is how the buildings will look once constructed. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? No questions from the commission. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? You guys are making this too easy tonight. Back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 14-089 as the final plat for the 74 Technology Park Third Edition.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-089, the final plat. Sorry, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 14-089 passes. Do I have a motion then on 14-090?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 14-090. It's the site development plan for the 74 Technology Park.
I'll second that also.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-090, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-090 passes. Thanks. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case involves 931 State Street. This is 10th Street here, State here. You have this parcel here that used to be a former used car lot, and that use has been discontinued for over a year now. Essentially, the petitioner would like to build a convenience store on this lot and have six islands for 12 different gas pumps. This is the platted area, essentially, on Frank Drewell's addition, done back in 1914, and it encompasses lots 2, 3, and part of the fourth lot, half of that fourth lot, to give you the dimensioning of this parcel. This is the present structure. As I mentioned, the use for the used car lot, it was a non-conforming use. It's been discontinued for more than a year, so it cannot come back. The petitioner wants to place his structure in this area right here and then have the pumps further out toward the front. This is the view looking from the rear. There's a floodplain area back here which the petitioner wishes to fill, and he will need to go through the necessary paperwork to do that to get the flood development permit. We have 10th Street here, State Street, and this is the existing structure right here. This is the site plan for the area, and what we have is the building being proposed right here. And again, you have all of these gas pumps in this area right here. There's parking out front. The dumpster will be located on this site over here on the east side. And I believe the petitioner's architect may have brought some elevations with him. We reviewed this too for potential landscape needing to be placed out front. We've got four trees required here, and then there will be two in the interior. And if he has those elevations, he can show That's how those would look. I'm going to hold them up, or Bill might.
Is this the same thing? Were you done, Craig?
Yeah. If you guys, we recommend approval of the site plan with the conditions listed.
If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
As originally designed, the setback from the property line on State Street met code requirements. Due to the fact that the Department of Transportation is going to be doing some work in that area in the very near future, they needed the 5 foot of additional right-of-way on the front of the property. So the applicant went to the Zoning Board of Adjustment to get a variance to go from 20-foot setback for the canopy to 15-foot. So that was approved at the last Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Questions from the commission?
Yes, I have one question. Greg, the overhead electrical lines in the back of the lot,
mm-hmm.
Is the building far enough away from those to meet code? I think they're, I don't know what the size of those lines are. I know that some lines you have to be 10 feet away from the outside edge of the line, not the center. And I don't know what's shown back there, but that's just a...
You got 10 feet at least from this point here down separating. And I believe that the overhead electrical are right here and here. So I believe that they've got at least 10 feet, if not more, from this point, well, really here, from this point here, we've got almost, you've got probably about 12 feet here, and then you almost have 20 feet here.
My concern is the lines are on a T-shaped pole, so if this is to the center of the pole, you're losing a couple feet, maybe 3 feet, and that has to be taken into consideration when you lay this out, and I don't know if that has been done.
Well, we've talked with the architect before about that, and what we'll do is we'll make sure that it maintains that separation. We had this same issue come up with the convenience store on Middle Road and I-74 when it was being built. You remember there were some lines that were coming across, and we'll make sure that those standards are maintained, that they keep that separation point working. So we'll check that.
Good. Thank you.
The drawings are showing an open space with another 1,500 square feet. Do we, I'm thinking parking, do we know if we have enough parking, depending on what's going in that open space? Are we setting ourselves up for a problem?
In these types of situations, we have consistently used the area at the pumps also as parking, required parking. A lot of times people will pull up and gas up and go in and pick up a soda or something, so we count those spaces also, and there is adequate parking for the site.
You looked at, you know, if they've looked at any of the traffic patterns and the turning radius, it just looks very congested to me on the plan view, especially coming in. I don't know if that's been evaluated yet. Or if this is,
I think what we did is we looked at the necessary turning radii from the vantage point of the fire department and saw that if they met those requirements, then we felt that there was a necessary amount of maneuverability for practically any vehicle.
I kind of have a similar concern just about traffic flow. Obviously, it's a one-way there. Is there any way to restrict, or do we restrict, you know, the westernmost entrance is the entrance only, and the easternmost is exit only? Because if somebody overshoots the way you've shown the traffic flow and then they turn back in at the second entrance while somebody else is coming out, depending on how busy this location becomes, I can foresee traffic problems.
There's the entrance ways are 25 feet wide, so they can accommodate in and out traffic. But if there need to be, I guess one would look maybe painting arrows to indicate in and out lanes. I don't know how, I mean, I guess you could put a restriction there, but again, you have 25 feet to work with right here and here. So you got a substantial width there to accommodate in and out. It's just a question of what point of entry one would use and how they would avoid the out traffic. But most people have an inclination to go like this and then come in like this, and then I don't know if you want to stipulate that or not, but that's a pretty good width for maneuverability.
Okay. I mean, depending on how busy that gets, I foresee it traffic accidents.
We could monitor that, and if it becomes an issue, have a discussion with the owner.
One similar question, just for backout radius and stuff, or mm-hmm. distance. I'm seeing an 18-foot stall, which is not super deep in SUV world today, and then a 25-foot from the back of the stall to, it looks like, the edge of what would be the pump island. Yeah, on that drawing there. So, and it looks like there's two pumps per island. Are there two pumps mm-hmm. per island? So if a car pulls up heading forward into the one closest to the building, for example, and its back fueling area is by the pump closest to the building, is that enough space then to get back out and pull in room in that radius there? We have maneuverability. Follow me over there.
And where, add on to that, where do cars stage if there's more cars than pumps? Where do they stage?
Yeah. Let's hope he has that problem, but yeah, it's a tight spot.
I believe there's 25 feet though separating that area, and that's typical of what we would see for like a drive lane, you know, or some area where one could, you know, back out if they needed to. But I mean, again, they'd have to look, you know, just general traffic rules of the road. You know, you have to be aware of your surroundings and backing out. You know, I don't know why there would, that standard is the same standard, because I think we're maintaining a 25-foot distance from here down to these parking spaces.
Why don't you let Brian jump in here?
I was going to say 24 feet is typically an adequate width for any type of a travel lane for aisles and things like that. So, and they've got 25 feet there. I guess we wouldn't see that as too much of a concern.
I have to agree with my fellow commissioners, though. The way this is set up right now, that's 25 feet clearance to the island. Most cars will pull up their gasoline tank is in the back of the car, so they're going to pull up past that. So their front of their car is going to be well into that 25-foot lane.
That's where I'm going.
So, yeah. So, I mean, the congestion is some. I don't know how we look at that. You know, I don't know if there's a study that can be done, but the congestion in here is very concerning.
I see what you're saying. I was looking. I didn't.
Yeah, the width were good, Brian, but the.
I see what you're saying.
The guy in the Suburban pulls up.
Certainly.
To your point, and his tank's in the back, and you got 15 feet of car now. Beyond, or 10 or 15 beyond the pump island, yep. The guy in the parking space up against the building won't be able to back out. It's tight. That's my message, I guess. It's tight.
I would agree.
This looks real similar to 18th and 53rd, the BP station. And that gets real tight, especially actually on the street side. Because you'll have a truck with a trailer that will pull in to park, and they'll park up along the street. So you get a car that's on the first stall there, and he's stuck until somebody else moves.
Is there some kind of a study to be done for, like, using turning radiuses or to see whether this is appropriate? I mean, I don't have any objection to a to the concept, but it may just be too much. And maybe they could get by with, instead of 12 or whatever, you know, half of that number.
Or turn the other way.
Yeah, four spaces or instead of six, or turn it the other way or something.
Or a narrower building and not an open space.
Something, yeah. It just feels tight, and I think we need some things. We're being asked to approve this, so that means we have some kind of responsibility to make sure that's workable. Right now, I think we all have concerns that it's workable.
Yeah.
If there's any cars staged to go into one of the north-facing pumps, or at least what's shown as a north-facing cars on this drawing, none of these cars are going to be able to back out.
Mm-hmm. I think how congested the Shell station is up there across from Hy-Vee, and I don't know how that compares to this. I don't know if it's larger or smaller, but it would be nice to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we maybe perhaps defer this until the next month while this gets looked at?
We should probably get benefit of the side conversation over there as well. And then, Greg, in the sheets that they gave us here,
mm-hmm.
it shows the dumpster in the northeast corner. And on the handout, we've got the dumpster, I think, penciled in on the side. Do we have a...
Yeah, we're going to... I was under the impression when I talked with the petitioner's architect before that they were okay with that being here. But we'll have to take a look at this to make sure if that's been placed there, that it in fact is approachable and that it can be removed in a manner that doesn't interfere with any of the patrons.
Well, and on the large scale drawing showing it right up on State Street, that's kind of like, welcome to Bettendorf, here's a dumpster.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Kind of goes contrary to that premier city approach we're working on. So, but I do commend the developer for taking an eyesore and trying to do something better. So don't get the impression we're not in support of something being developed there, but we just want it to work right. So can we get the benefit of what you guys were chatting about there?
I think the architect is here. He might want to speak to that.
Why don't you join us at the podium back there so that we can hear it on the, have it on the record. Thank you.
Didn't mean to have a separate meeting going on.
No. We weren't going to let you go, Bill.
My name is Ethan Malani. I'm an architect in Rock Island and licensed in Illinois and Iowa. In the layout and dimensions you see there, we are following the recommendations of the installers of the tanks, the pumps, and the canopy. And it's a very narrow site. The 25 feet there would allow two-way traffic. And yes, people can overshoot the pump, but you still would have room to back out and have one-way traffic in front of the parking area. You mentioned the eyesore that is there. We have still a bigger one, and that is that big monumental sign that is next door.
The billboard?
We hope that the city will do something about someday and get rid of that, because that completely blocks all view of that station until you're right in front of it. And stands about the bottom of the sign about 12 to 14 feet, and then the sign itself is another additional 12 to 14 feet. We are also working with Missman Engineering, because this is partially the floodplain. We have to adhere to all the FEMA requirements, and Missman is completed the flood certificates and the papers that were required to work in a floodplain. So there's more to this than just putting a building in there. FEMA has become very, very restrictive, and the city of Bettendorf is complying fully with the requirements. Oh, you mentioned trees. We have this on the new plan. We did show some trees, and as we develop the construction documents, we will indicate where those are to be located. the dumpster we would like to put further closer to the street so that a truck coming in to empty the dumpster will be able to pull in, grab it, and get out without tying up additional traffic if it were to be placed as a rear of the lot. And as far as the wires go, in that 10-foot setback in the rear, the wires there are standard residential three-wire, three-phase, 440 line that you find in any residential area. They're wooden poles, wooden cross arms, and just three-wire. There's nothing extraordinary about the wires. And we're going to be at a minimum of 10 feet to the center of that right-of-way, which is about 20 feet wide.
You mentioned the dumpster, and we had raised that as a question, and my concern is that with the dumpster, I understand the practical side of putting it out by the street for accessibility, but from an appearance standpoint, it kind of sets the stage for the entire development. Here's the dumpster right out front. So is there an effective way to put that down the side or somewhere and have it acceptable?
It's walled in with a gate, and it'll be one that you cannot see, the fence that you cannot see through. So it should be, you know, fairly unobtrusive. It'll be totally enclosed. And the city has a problem with putting it up through the front, we can still get it to the back, but it, again, it's the practicality of emptying it.
And I get that. To me, it's a balance between the practical side and the other reality that the gates become hanging after a period of time and somebody leaves it open and debris is blowing down the street and it's right in the heart of everything. So I would like to see that being addressed farther back on the site.
The developer, Deb Bustola, has the Sarah Mini Mart, which is a Shell station on West River Drive in Merville. And I must say that compared to a lot of these type of stations that are fast food pickup beer and with signs plastered all over the buildings, his is a very nice looking structure. It's kept clean. I invite you to come to visit it sometime.
And where's that one at?
Sarah Mini Mart. It's a Shell station on West River Drive and Myrtle in Davenport.
Is that over on the far west side over by Oscar Mayer?
It's over across the street from where the ice house used to be.
It's near where you're saying.
I drove by it on the way in tonight. Yep. Yep.
On the west side of the post office.
But I don't remember seeing the dumpster up front. I'll check that tomorrow, but yeah. But anyone else in the audience in regard to this case? Yes, ma'am.
I am Valerie Serge. I am the immediate property owner at 943 State. I have three questions that I don't think you've answered quite enough for me yet. I see the parking. I'm assuming that that's customer parking. Are the employees going to have a designated place to park? That's question number one. Question number two, the location of the trash can being on my side of the property is going to be a big concern for me. And what is allowed to be in that 10-foot setback that I see on the side of the property? What, if anything, can go there? Because that affects perhaps my access to my property. The only access that I have to my parking lot is down the driveway, which is on the side of the building there.
On the west side of your building? That's where
on the west side of my building is the only access to my parking lot.
I'm assuming, and I'll assume and let the architect confirm, but that nothing will go past the property line from a development standpoint. So assuming that you've got adequate access today within your property lines, that should be maintained.
Well, I do, but if the employees park on that line, there's a great possibility of them being over the line without realizing it.
May I? Valerie, the employee parking was taken in consideration when the parking layout was done.
So that parking stretches both employees and customers?
Yes.
Question, is that enough?
it meets the ordinance. So.
Okay. So can anything permanent be in that 10-foot setback line then? Like could the trash can be there?
Technically, no, according to our ordinance.
Okay.
10-foot setback, you can have landscaping, those types of things in it.
But nothing permanent?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So what kind of use, Bill or Greg, could be in potentially the 1,500 square feet? I'm just trying to get a feel for what the, it meets code. If it meets code for the square footage of the building, that's our constraint.
Yeah, it's a C3 zoning, so there are any number of allowable uses that could be in there. I think from a practical standpoint, if you have 1,500 square feet, you're gonna be kind of limited as to what you are going to have in there. Do you have any idea what maybe in that area?
In the larger area, it'll be a convenience store, and he will be selling food items, possibly, if he gets a license, a beer and wine and chicken. But that'll, we have a layout of that space. There is an additional space next to it, which is smaller, that he'll be renting out, and that could be any number of things. Small laundry, a small fast food. It depends on who he can get for a tenant. Also, this lady's concern was about, there's no access from the front to the back. They were gonna be about, at the same level as is there now, that won't change, but we will put a seawall in the back of the property to contain the expansion and the filling to allow us to build in the floodplain. But there's no access from the front to the rear, and there is a concrete wall on the east side that would prohibit anybody from going over the property line to the adjoining property.
Okay, thank you.
May I speak to that?
So we can capture that, please. Thank you, Valerie.
Trust me, I know from experience that there is plenty of room to block my driveway, even with the existing flood wall. And the city well knows my concerns about this. So there is enough room if a car was parked toward the front of the lot. There's probably 40 or 50 feet there where my driveway could be blocked.
If there's any problem, Valerie, you just call me. I'll take care of it.
Well, by the time my employee is really mad at me because she can't get out the driveway to get off work on time, you understand that.
The owner can also put a fence from the end of that concrete wall north to the front property line, and that would take care of the whole thing. Okay.
Do we have any restrictions on what businesses could go in that open space because of parking? Because I can think of many things that could go in there that could cause this to be a real disaster.
But what you probably wouldn't want to go in there would be some sort of a gymnasium type fitness center that mm-hmm. you figure one occupant per every 15 square feet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd hope that the owner would be cognizant of the fact that he's got X number of parking spots, and he probably doesn't want to hurt his business by bringing in somebody that's going to gobble up spaces for his customers.
But to your point, I mean, if it was a Subway or something and at lunchtime, I can just see this being a disaster. I can't recall if he's got a one there now, but at the other location. So Let me ask anyone else from the audience with regard to this case. Yes, sir.
Just have a question on the property of the immediate west. Would it put some sort of a fence or something along between the property line? In the past, we've had an issue with people using our parking lot and walking across. And if parking's going to be a concern in that service station area, if we had some sort of dividing fence to discourage them using our lot and walking across to do their business at the service station.
Okay. Architect says yes. The architect said yes.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to the case? Staff, any further comments? Back to the commission.
No, Mr. Chairman, I still have issues concerning whether this is a workable situation. And I don't know if there's a, as I would suggested earlier, perhaps we can defer this for another month until we get a study that shows that this is an appropriately sized development for this lot.
And I would tend to agree. Again, I support the concept of the development, but there's a couple of key factors, and one for me would be the location of the dumpster, that there be determined a functional location for the dumpster. And I'm a little concerned about, although we have no, if I'm understanding right, Bill, that the 2520 and the 1536 square feet, based on those square footages and the parking that's adjacent, immediately adjacent to the building, in addition to the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 spots that are counted out in the gas fueling area, they meet code for that building.
They do.
And it's a standard practice for us to count.
And whenever we have these multi-tenant buildings, it's always difficult for us. We try to take the middle of the road as to what could be the possible uses. You know, obviously, like we said, if we have a fitness center that comes in here, a jazzercise class, that's not going to meet the parking requirement. But rather than go to the developer and say you're going to meet the worst case scenario for every square foot you have, we don't feel that that's fair to do.
Yeah.
Well, my comment is that Mr. Milani indicated that in terms of the, you know, the 25-foot setbacks between the parking spaces and the pumps and the canopy, that all of that was per the recommendations of the I thought he said the petroleum company or the and so is that the standard that we've applied to other similar site plans? I mean,
you know, we've done a few service stations in my tenure here, not very many because a lot of people don't build service stations anymore, but this doesn't seem aisle-wise to be too far away from what we had at the Shell station at Devil's Glen and State Street. So we can go back and look at that site plan and see if this is comparable as far as maneuvering areas.
I don't think they've got that much parking right up by the building. There's a bigger gap. It's more like the one
in parking right up at the building. And
Devil's Glen middle is the representative one, I think, of this one, Bill.
I think it's even tighter than up there. It just seems that the space on either side of the pumps is much less than what you have at the one at Devil's Glen. And I don't see the turning radius is people pulling out of the pumps being able to get away from the pumps without driving through the whole lot and just causing problems. That's why I'd like to see a study or a comparison or something that says yes, this will work.
Overlay.
Yeah.
We got enough technology around now. Can we overlay some existing stations?
We can do some comparisons, certainly.
Okay. Thank you.
I share the same concerns. It reminds me a lot of the Shell station on Devil's Glen and Middle Road, and that one is just, you know, you get it at a busy time. There's no place for cars to stage. It's terrible to try and back out and get out of. It's just very congested.
Yeah, and State Street's even worse than Devil's Glen as far as traffic. Exactly. So, yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'll move we defer this case till till a study of some kind can be developed that, that will convince us this is a proper development as far as the congestion is concerned.
I'll second that.
All right, I have a motion and a second to defer this case pending further investigation and confirmation of layouts and, I guess, discussion on that motion. I would agree, in particular addressing the radius between the building or the end of the parking place and where cars would realistically pull up, the location of the dumpster, and the overall distribution on the site of traffic. Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor of deferring case 14087, based on those recommendations, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Case is deferred. Okay. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the next case involves the construction of a building to house materials, cold storage. It's the Teske's store. Come up Spruce Hills Drive, and you enter in through here, and this is where the locale is right there. This structure here will be taken out and replaced with a larger structure that's over 1,400 square feet. And then that'll allow for a more permanent structure to house the supplies for Teske's, which they want to make sure they've got that secured as much as possible in terms of the structure that they're building back here behind the existing store. Entryway can be made in through here, and then there's enough circulation around here so that vehicles can maneuver as needed to get back in this area. You remember this is the Wendy's plat right here, and that portion here was taken away, acquired by Wendy's, and this is the remainder right here that's left that is essentially the Teske's parcel. This is the site plan showing the existing building, and you'd come back in this direction. This area right in here is the existing structure. The area that's going to be built is essentially going to be built almost right on top of that. That's where the building will go. Staff reviewing this proposal recommends approval. And with the conditions listed in the report, I would ask you, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Greg, I'll have a couple. I'm assuming that this is going from a temporary structure to a permanent structure. So things like, you know, the additional runoff from the roof and things like that, that's okay as far as the containing the water on site, all those sorts of things.
It's pretty much what you have is an existing outlet right here. Just like Wendy's, they outlet into this. They don't have any. It's pretty much everything around here is impervious. There isn't much in the way of anything that's being added that would necessitate it. I believe you need 5,000 additional square feet of impervious surface to be added to meet our ordinance, so that's not the case here.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else from the commission? Anyone from the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, I'll return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 14-088, the site development plan for the Spruce Hills Drive, 2395 Spruce Hills Drive, as submitted by Teske Pet and Garden Center, subject to the staff recommendations.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-088, subject to the staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-088 is approved. Bill, you're up.
Subsequent to your last meeting, you had recommended approval for Everest Summit and for the Quick Star. Both of those items are currently on hold at council. What we really wanted the developer for Everest Summit to do is to make a better attempt to contact the property owner to the east to see if there could be some accommodations between the two properties, and they're working on that as we speak. Quick Star we held up because we wanted a comprehensive traffic study done for the area, and the results are in for that. There's turn lanes, there are many things that are being recommended for approval. The traffic study did say that a traffic signal is warranted at Falcon and 53rd. Mm-hmm. So we'll be working with Quick Star to make sure they take care of theirs, but we've taken a more global view of it. We had the Genesis that just opened up, and yep. We've got the Romer building that's going to be put in, and we've got the Dan Elias building that's going to start this spring. So the dynamics up there are changing
absolutely
significantly.
So glad to hear that. Yep.
That's all I've got.
Okay, great. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, we're adjourned.